This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Eric Bolin, who covers your New York Yankees for Newsday Sports, is on the line. What's up, Eric?
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're good. We're hanging out. We're talking the talk and, you know, bringing you in as expertise on our New York Yankees. It's a night off down there. You could be doing anything else, so I thank you for joining us.
Well, Clubhouse opens at 7:50 tomorrow morning, so, and I'm old. I've been doing this a while, so I'll probably be asleep, you know, before 11 o'clock.
Well, that's something I wanted to ask you. One, if no one's giving you your flowers or your respect, ton of respect. How many years, what year is this now, 2025, being on the Yankees beat?
I'm going into my 17th year. My first year was 2009, the year of their last championship.
Well, good first year. there are kids that are listening to the show under 17. So again, props to you, giving you your flowers and thank you for your work. Let's talk about the team. My whole thing tonight is that last year is over, and coming off the World Series last year and losing the World Series, of course the bar is the Yankees must get back and win it. But I don't think it's going to just be a soft AL, as so many people say the American League is weak and the Yankees are the favorites. I don't think it's just going to be a straight shot. They're going to just win the whole American League. But I do think that they made the right moves. I do think that they did fill some holes, but they also have some holes. Who has stood out to you from the Yankees' new additions, whether it's with the pitching or hitting? What's one guy that you've seen that you're like, okay, yeah, this guy has a chance to be a fan favorite?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'll put spring training into context for people that put more stock into it than they should. None of it matters. It really doesn't. Who looks good? Who looks bad? It really only matters for, A, people trying to make the roster. Max Fried's going to make the roster and slot in after Gerrit Cole in the rotation. So even if he gets torpedoed in his next, you know, whatever, three or four starts before the start of the regular season, it really doesn't matter. And then he could go out and win a Cy Young. And you see examples like this all across the league. I've seen it time and time again with the Yankees. The guy has a terrible spring and then, you know, has a remarkable, you know, all-star caliber, you know, season, and vice versa. We've seen guys light it up in the spring and it doesn't work out. The main thing about spring training is guys getting hurt. That pure and simple. I talked to Rob Thompson briefly yesterday when the Yankees were over there playing the Phillies, and he said, you know, we all just hold our breath talking about managers this time of year. It does matter for guys certainly who are trying to make the roster, but for veteran guys, it doesn't matter. That said, a guy that has gotten rave reviews so far is a guy that I mentioned in that brief diatribe a second ago, Max Fried. Talked to catchers that have caught him so far. I remember talking to his manager, Brian Snitker, a couple of weeks ago. Snitker had him for all 8 years that he pitched for the Braves. He said, the Yankees are going to love this guy. Yankee fans are going to love this guy. He's just a professional, has five or six different pitches, and all of them are really good. And I would say that Freed has, you know, in his bullpen sessions, live batting practices, and then even in his first start a few days ago has shown that as well. We saw Devin Williams out, the airbender pitch for the first time in Clearwater yesterday. He said that he feels that pitch is actually a little bit ahead for this time of year than it typically is. He certainly has been impressive. You know, and Clay Bellinger, or I'm sorry, Clay is his father. Cody Bellinger has swung the bat, you know, pretty well in the early going here, too. But, you know, again, I remember something Derek Jeter said to me years ago when he's winding down his career. He said, look, I've had spring trainings where I saw the ball extremely well and was ready to go regular season. And then I had a terrible April, and I've had spring trainings where I didn't think I'd get a hit all year and, you know, hit 300 for the season. So I always tell people, and certainly the longer that I've done this, don't get caught up in the results of spring training and don't buy a lot of the propaganda that you hear either from teams or some in the media.
We're on the phone right now with Eric Bolin from Newsday Sports, who covers the Yankees. You know, Eric, as you know, we have more coverage of spring training than ever now. Social media, Instagram, Twitter, all the games that you can watch. Even if the Yankees don't put it on Yes Network, like the Phillies broadcast will have it, or MLB Network will have it. And I think that's what plays into fans who are, you know, just obsessed baseball fans and just hyper-focused on what's the team going to be like and who's performing well and, like, Spencer Jones and George Lombard Jr., like, you know, like, watching spring training and taking this small sample size and making proclamations off of it. That's happening everywhere. But you said something that I want to ask you about, right, with the injuries. And, of course, we're excited for, you know, spring training every year, but it also comes with guys doing baseball activities and coming up hurt. And the Yankees very early on here now have lost Giancarlo Stanton without him swinging a bat. DJ LeMahieu got two at-bats. He has the calf injury. He's down. And I think the toughest one to deal with right now is Luis Gil. The news about his lat strain coming off of winning Rookie of the Year, pitching more than he had ever pitched coming off of Tommy John. Now, a guy who was the talk of the beginning of pitchers and catchers reporting, Marcus Stroman, is slotted into the rotation. What do you think about Will Warren's opportunity and his chances that he's going to get? And two, do you think that they actually are able to move Marcus Stroman, or do you think the Yankees are going to have to ride this out with Stroman on the team?
Well, I think certainly there's a few different layers to what you just asked there. I'll answer the last part of the question first. They've tried to move Marcus Stroman pretty much, you know, all winter long, especially after they got Max Fried. But they're not going to be in a hurry to move him now because with Heel down really indefinitely, he's not going to throw for the next 6 weeks. If you want to look for a template on this injury, Clark Schmidt suffered a lat strain last year. I think it was during his May 26th start in San Diego. The next time he took a big league mound was September 7th. So he was out just over 3 months. He was no throw for 4 weeks. When Boone was talking to us the other day about it, he said that Heel is no throw for 6 weeks, which suggests to me that maybe this one's a little bit more severe than the one that Clark Schmidt suffered, but you never know. Everybody rehabs injuries differently. So, you know, maybe he will be right in line with what Schmidt was, but the reality is it still was 3+ months. The Yankees are very lucky that they have a guy like Marcus Stroman with his pedigree, with his career numbers, that they can just slot into that number five spot. Cause I can tell you most teams would not have that kind of depth if one of their frontline starters went down. They put a guy in that's got a career, 87 and 85 record, forget the wins and losses, but 3.72 ERA, has been really durable during his career. He's going to be that fifth starter, and, you know, the Yankees are probably fortunate that they were not successful trading him away. Could he still get traded? Of course. I've seen a lot of strange things in my time covering the Yankees, so you never say never on anything, but I would say that Marcus Stroman's going to be staying put because they don't know when Luis Gil is going to be back. And the depth after Marcus Stroman when it comes to starters with the Yankees, both in camp and the organization, it really isn't great. And Will Warren is going to get an opportunity. He has thrown the ball extremely well. And I don't usually rely on what the Yankees tell us on stuff like that. I always want to sample the opposing team scouts that are in town because they will usually give you a more realistic view of what's going on because the Yankees are going to talk up everybody for the most part. But scouts that I've talked to say Warren looks like a different pitcher than he did last year. So it seems like he's made some improvements that just, you know, learned from his little bit of experience that he got last year. And then the depth really kind of drops off even after Warren. But, you know, here's the reality of a given Major League Baseball season. Teams go into any season, and I wrote about this for Newsday tomorrow, so I'll just, you know, kind of plug off my own story that I wrote. They usually plan on needing 10 to 12 pitchers to start games during the course of the season because of injuries or lack of performance, but it's usually injuries. The Yankees were kind of remarkably healthy last year. They only had 8 guys that were required to start games, but you look at the Dodgers, they had 15. You look at the Phillies, who won the NL East. They need 14 guys to make starts during the course of the season. The Cleveland Guardians, that always you know, seem to churn out pitcher after pitcher, they needed 12 to get through last season. I can go on and on with that. So, you know, the Yankees are going to need more than just, you know, whatever starting five they leave camp with. That's just the reality of a big league baseball season. And to me, that's one of the biggest concerns that you know, organizationally that they should have, because, you know, I'm not sure the depth is what they think it is.
We talked about Will Warren, and he's a young guy that's turning heads, and now everybody is super hyped up on George Lombard Jr. as well as Spencer Jones with the game that he had yesterday. Again, it's spring training. These games don't matter. It's glorified practice. It's exhibition. But tell us what you've seen from George Lombard and what you've seen from Spencer Jones and what you expect for them in 2025.
Well, you're not going to see George Lombard Jr. in the big leagues this year, so that break should be pumped, you know, right away. He's going to start more than likely in, you know, long A, you know, not rookie ball, but he'll be in, you know, high A probably to start the season. And then, you know, you hope that, you know, maybe he's knocking on the door of triple A by season's end if he does really well in single A, gets a promotion to double A, and, you know, you go from there. But he's only 19 years old, second big league camp, but this is the first big league camp that he's really gotten significant playing time. But, you know, everybody likes him, and there seems to be a lot to like. I'll tell you this, before every trade deadline, I always canvass about 10 or 12 scouts from other teams that are assigned the Yankees organization. And I've done this for years because, again, you know, teams are always going to overvalue their prospects and overhype their prospects. I don't care about the Baseball America rankings. The teams are going to say that what they're going to say about their prospects. But I always ask these opposing team scouts, from the Yankee system, from low A ball all the way up to triple A, give me a list of 5 guys that you absolutely right now would take from the Yankee system. And when I did that last year, 2 names were mentioned by all 10 scouts that I talked to: George Lombard Jr. and Spencer Jones. And I would say that, you know, hasn't really changed. Now, Spencer, you know, didn't have a bad year last year, but organizationally there was some slight disappointment because the strikeout numbers were just so immense. It was 200 strikeouts, I want to say, and 400 and some at bat. But, you know, he's still a young kid, too.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And his size certainly doesn't help him. I remember Randy Johnson, when he retired, said it's not a tall man's game. And there's a reason why you see so few guys that are big guys like Spencer Jones that actually make it. A lot of moving parts in the swing that can go wrong. And he's just sort of a work in progress. But, you know, yesterday, all of the aspects of that swing were certainly working for him. But he'll start the season in double A again. And then you see what the progression is from there. We've seen guys have meteoric rises through the Yankees organization and not spend as much time in, let's say, AAA as you might think. Jason Dominguez comes to mind from just a couple of years ago. In that regard, he played, what, 9 or 10 games in AAA after he got promoted there, and then all of a sudden he was a September 1st call-up. So, you know, I'm not sure that Spencer Jones is on that kind of trajectory, but, you know, you can't say that in early March either.
Couple more questions for you. The left side of the Yankees defense, if you had to pencil in starters today at third base and left field, who would they be and why?
I think with, certainly with DJ LeMahieu going down, it's Oswaldo Cabrera's position to lose, and they certainly, you know, they like what how he's turned himself into a super utility player. People need to remember he came up as a natural shortstop, and then the Yankees started moving him around, and he is a joy in the clubhouse to his teammates, always has a smile on his face, one of the most popular guys in that clubhouse. So he's got a lot of backing there. He just needs to show that he can hit in the big leagues. And for, you know, when he's had his opportunities, and they've been sporadic, but the last three seasons when he's had chances, he's fielded whatever position he's been put in relatively well. Just hasn't hit enough. I said on the when camp started, I wasn't convinced that the Yankees starting third baseman for opening day might not yet be in camp, meaning a trade or some kind of a signing. Somebody gets discarded from another camp towards the end of spring training. I still think that's a distinct possibility. Remember, the Yankees traded for John Birdie last year. I want to say it was one day or 2 days before they opened up the season in Houston. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to a big league roster right up until opening day. But if you ask me right now what my gut is, I would say Cabrera is the starting third baseman opening day. And in left field, I know Jason Dominguez, the reviews have not been rave to this point. His work in left field, he still is, to go back to a cliche I used earlier, a work in progress out there. But, you know, 3.5 weeks from now, whatever it is, March 27th for the season opener, I do think you'll see Jason Dominguez in left.
Okay, two more. The leadoff hitter. Who's going to win the leadoff hitter job for the Yankees this year?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, Aaron Boone, the first day that he talked to us when pitchers and catchers reported, he was asked about that, and he said he could see, you know, organizationally them going any, you know, 5 or 6 different directions. I think there's a decent chance that Jason Dominguez actually might be in that spot. They've had a couple of times this spring so far. Austin Wells, obviously, he would not be a threat on the base pass, but he generally has a pretty good eye at the plate, works the count well, which you always want that, certainly from a leadoff hitter. I think that it may be one of those two guys, and Jazz Chisholm Jr., because of his athleticism, speed on the bases, power potential, you know, leadoff double potential because, you know, he can run, put a ball in the gap right off the bat, and then you get, you know, probably Aaron Judge coming up right after him. He would be in that mix too. And I wouldn't automatically discount Anthony Volpe being there either. We know he's gotten a couple of chances in that leadoff spot, you know, last year in particular, and really didn't gravitate towards. But he is the type of guy, when he's going well, that does see a lot of pitches, obviously can steal some bases too. I would say he may be a dark horse candidate.
Last one. I mean, people are talking about Dom Smith. People are talking about Ben Rice. For the most part, who do you see being the Yankees DH?
I mean, I would say that Ben Rice would be ahead in that regard. They really like the way that he's swinging the bat. They like what he did with his body in the offseason, adding a little bit of muscle. He's a backup first base option, also a backup catcher option. Not that he would be the backup catcher, but he would be the third catcher on the roster. But they really, you know, the reality is they just like that lefty swing. Dom Smith, you know, an established big leaguer, certainly. Obviously, Mets fans remember him well. He swung the bat pretty well this swing. The only complication there is he's not on the 40-man roster, but, you know, there's going to be, I would say, three guys probably going to start the season on the 60-day IL, so that frees up a Giancarlo Stanton, I think, is a possibility with that. Luis Gil certainly will start the season on the 60-day IL, and Jonathan Loaisiga, I think, you know, as well. So they can fit they can fit somebody on the 40-man roster with no problem. But I would say that Ben Rice right now would be the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak, for the DH role.
Eric, you're the man. Thank you for the time tonight. Keep doing your thing. I'm sure I'll run into you maybe down there the week of March 17th. I'll be down there. And if not, I'll catch you at the stadium.
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.